think we're on episode 8. Yes.
I think so too. I'm
a fan. I think so. It's episode 8. Sure. It's going to be great. Really excited to be here again. Dahlia, my co-host.
Shit, yeah.
Not here all the time because sometimes, you know, there's traffic on I-16 or whatever it is, as we know.
For the record.
Blame it on the traffic. That's all good.
The train. Blame it on the train. Got,
I'm always here.
Really excited to have guest of the day, Sam Case.
I'm excited. I'm so excited to be here.
Shit, yeah. How long have you been with the company, Sam?
I have been with the company a year and 5 months.
Zunzi's time. I cannot believe it's been a year and 5 months.
I can't either.
Yeah.
Because it's been that long since I moved to Savannah from Nashville.
Yeah.
Because I started immediately.
Nashville. After I moved. Another great town. Well, excited to have you on. As you know, this is the Shit Yeah Show. I think lately it's been a little bit of a shit show. As of late,
it's been something. We've had some
surprises
sure.
that yeah. you guys will all find out at some point.
That's for sure.
And you've kind of been tip of the spear in regards to what's been going on there. But just to reiterate, because sometimes we have some first time listeners that are on. The purpose of this show is really to create awareness that the restaurant business sucks.
It does.
It's something that I love, and so there's three things that we really talk about: is what sucks about the restaurant business, what do we love about the restaurant business. And then what are we doing to make it better? And because so many people are stuck in the restaurant business and not making it better. And it really just, it sucks when you're in that position. But to start off, I want to just chat with you about how you got into the business. I think it's always interesting how most people get in the business. It gets in their blood and they're drawn back to mm-hmm. it. You're with our company. You're really passionate about what you do. You've done a lot of different things in your career. And so maybe you start off about that of kind of your 2-minute wiki profile of the restaurant business and then, you know, kind of that timeline of what got you here.
Yeah, I'm definitely stuck in the industry now for sure. It's crazy. I've actually been doing this for 32 years. I started when I was 14 at McDonald's. They actually hired 14-year-olds back then. I couldn't really do a lot because there was labor laws. So I cleaned the lobby and took out trash for 18 hours a week.
Yeah.
And then I actually stuck with McDonald's for almost 10 years up through college. I started, had some friends that were in the restaurant business that were servers. I saw that they were making a lot more money than I was, and they were working a lot less. So I started working with Applebee's as a server, moved up to bartender, kind of like a key hourly manager, was in college, have 2 college degrees. So I'm definitely—
What are those then?
I have a bachelor's in video game programming and computer software development.
Wow.
And then I have a bachelor's in home interior design.
Okay.
If you tell Chris that you have a degree in video game programming, we will have to come out with a Zunzi's video game next year.
Yes, sauce. You just throw sauce at people.
Yeah, we have some sauce that is no bueno that we can certainly use at some point sitting in storage. Okay, so journey, McDonald's. So McDonald's is a great place to start because they're very system-oriented.
They're very
Kevin,
structured.
Our chief operating officer, who's had amazing stints with started at McDonald's corporate in Chicago. And then with RTM, which was the largest Arby's franchisee, 8 to almost 1,200 locations with a big exit to Rourke Capital. He was there for that whole ride with turnarounds doing that. And then as the largest Five Guys franchisee, growing from 0 to 97 locations, I think over 8 years. You know, that pedigree started, though, with McDonald's. So maybe let's talk about that, of just that McDonald's experience back then, because it was probably a simpler business back then. I think they're trying to get back to those roots.
It was awesome. I was fortunate enough. I worked at several locations. One of the locations that I worked at was a test store. So we got to test like hot dogs and pizza and all this stuff that didn't really make it out to the menu.
McDonald's.
It was kind of, but it was, but I loved it. It was, I mean, a lot of people give a lot of crap to McDonald's, but they are very well structured in
literally
everything. Like literally everything they do. So if you've ever watched that movie about how it started, it's very true. Like it was crazy watching it to see how they actually came up with, like, you have everything is precise and planned out. Like how if you have this many people, this is where the positions that they need to be in. Like it's so well organized.
I mean, there's time motion studies of even just how many steps it takes to get to a certain spot. And, you know, I talk about McDonald's a lot with Kevin because one of the keys to their ability of their to grow is they have systems in place to where really somebody could probably start at day one, and it's they've made it so simple and standardized that they can hop in and be effective. And, you know, there's one of my quotes, and it's called, talks about donkeys and racehorses. And in this business, you need both, right? And really, you know, there's the workhorses, call them donkeys, not saying asses, but there's this, you can't afford all racehorses, right? Mm-hmm. And there's that process that's there. And, you know, McDonald's is really able to take anybody who has a good attitude, work ethic, and a little bit of want, they can pop them in there and very quickly make them effective.
And the training program is very well organized. Like you come in and
it's really the gold standard.
And they want you to learn stuff. Like you're encouraged to cross train because back then you got like little pins, little flares that you can put on your hats.
And so there's recognition
for everything. There's a sandwich dressing station, there's the grill, there's fryers, everything had a pen associated to it. And I was like, okay, I'm a collector. So
you have all the pins.
I love Pokemon, so I'm like, I need all the pins. It literally hurt to put my hat on because it had so many pins on
it. Now it's probably considered a food safety choke hazard or something. Right? Things change. So McDonald's was really good for you.
McDonald's was good. I moved up to Applebee's. I didn't really find, I don't think I really found my passion for the business to where I just wanted to just not focus on my college degrees until I got to Romano's Macaroni Grill.
Okay, so is there and then Romano's Macaroni Grill.
So that's where I fell in love. I became a trainer for them. I was with them for almost 10 years. I used to travel the country and then the world opening locations for them. They didn't call their trainers, because they said that there was just a stigmatism to the word trainer. So people thought like, they're only focusing on doing a good job when they're training someone. So we were called developers because you're constantly developing people. So I was an on-the-road traveler, an on-the-road developer for them. I got to go to Germany, the Middle East, Japan.
Incredible.
I got to go to Canada.
So this
all
business
over the
can take you all over. And I think people don't realize that there's so many things. Look, I was just at a conference. And, you know, it wasn't a conference. It was the awards dinner for the Hospitality Hero. And they were talking about how it looks like the restaurant industry is the second largest employer in this country, right? In Georgia, right? And it like serves the most people. Insane.
It is. And that's
how much it impacts everybody. Yet, you know, people think, unfortunately, it's one of those stigmas, what sucks about it. William has talked about it. Larry's talked about it. People like downplay the restaurant business, but everybody goes to and wants to have, you know, a great experience. And what we're trying to do is elevate that. And your experience with it, it's taken you all over the world.
And that's what
it's a career.
I remember when my dad, I'd been out of college for a while. My dad was like, when are you ever going to do anything with those degrees we paid so much money for? And I was just like, Dad, I'm literally traveling the world for free.
Yeah.
And I'm loving it. And it wasn't until I started traveling overseas that I really recognized how powerful food is, how like, it can change a mood in an instant. Like you put your favorite food in front of a person, regardless of how you're feeling, you're instantly happy because of that. And and that's when I decided, you know, hey, I want to be a part of this because bringing happiness and joy is something that I live every day to do. And I'm like, you know what? That's what I need to do.
Well, you know, food is something that we all need, right? So we'll die without it.
Yeah.
But there's just some times where you don't want to cook at home. Right. And so it's a splurge or you're celebrating something. There's so many ways that you can, you know, engage with food. And so restaurants and the restaurant business, it's why there's so many. It's why people are attracted to them. People want to invest, all of that. So Macaroni Grill and then
Zoe's Kitchen. That's where they had their mission. I started with them right when they were almost in their growing starts, kind of like Zen Z's is.
Yep.
So I went through all the motions when they changed from Birmingham to Plano, Texas. And when they grew up to, I think I was 27.
Oh,
and
wow,
then we grew
around
to 320 some locations.
One of our investors is good friends with the founder of Zoe's. Hopefully connect some dots.
Yeah. So we had, I loved Zoe Casimus was the one that founded. But it was her son, John, when he graduated, I want to say from the University of Alabama or Georgia. And that's when he really took it big. He's like, Mom, we've got something. Because it's almost the very same story because they started in this little shack and they sold soup.
Uh-huh.
Kind of how we started
York Street.
And then it just blew up.
Okay, so Zoe's and then you were
here
at Cava, right?
Well, Cava purchased Zoe's.
Okay, were you there when that happened?
Yes, so they purchased Zoe's in August of 2018. And then I was with them until they started closing down locations. Well, they started converting locations from Zoe's to
That's
Cava's.
Right. And so what were you doing there?
I was a general manager at the Green Hills location. I was at several locations, but when I left Zoe's Kitchen, I was at the. I was running their third oldest location.
Green Hills. Zoe's went to then where?
I came here. Well, I worked for Velvet Taco for a minute, just as like a little spacer before.
And it, so you've been with some brands that have really great success, and you've been there at times where they were really growing. And so I think it's a great asset to have you with a team. So when you came on board, it was the GM of our downtown location.
I was actually hired as the AGM. Okay. So it was crazy how, like, I wasn't even looking. I was trying to find a job living in Nashville, in Georgia, for whenever we moved here. And it was a recruiter just out of the blue, George, called me. And it was like, here's this brand. And it was weird. I was just like, they've only got two locations. Like, is this what I really want to do? At that point in time, I didn't know about the plans on expanding. I was like, I've never really worked for a mom and pop, because that's how it, like, there's only two locations. That's what I, in my head, that's how it looked. But he sold me. I researched you all, saw the mission statement, the umbrella. There was something just drew me to everything.
So you checked out the website?
Yes, everything. Everything that we stand for. It just
told you
me.
It's important.
And I wanted to, and then I interviewed with Kevin. I actually think I pretty much interviewed Kevin, because I was asking him all kinds of questions. I think he was kind of shocked, because I was just like, so you know,
Kevin enjoyed that, because Kevin is a very thorough interviewer. And for it to pass George, because George and Kevin have worked from that headhunter talent acquisition position for, I think, 30 years. So he knows like exactly what Kevin's, you know, wants from a position. And so to get to that point.
Yeah, I did a Google really meet with Kevin, and then I had just happened to be having a trip to come down to look at property for one when we moved. And I was like, hey, I'm going to be in Savannah. And he's like, do you want to meet? So I met with Kevin at the Drayton location. And it was right before, that was literally probably a couple weeks after we brought on Nicholas and Danelle. Okay. Has that part of that?
There you go. So that was when Kevin came on and we were really starting to build our org chart to get ready for growth and make some changes to our systems. And it's really a transition I've talked about from a founder-led company, really me being involved in every decision, really Kevin coming in and building a professional organization that we can actually scale. And with 2025, like I think 5-6, you know, plus locations happening next year, looking to triple in sales as a company. It's some big stuff, but you can't do it without the growth of our people and finding the great people. So you're obviously a huge part of that. I want to keep rolling in regards to this, because now you're here.
Now I'm here.
You know, we don't say that our restaurant doesn't suck. All restaurants suck at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our battle cry, along with shit, yeah. So let's talk about that. Those three things. What sucks about the restaurant business? What do you love about it, right? Mm-hmm. Clearly, you're passionate about it. You've been able to grow and be successful, and you see some of the really good stuff about it. And then we'll talk about what you're doing and what you think we're doing that attracted you, that we're making positive change in the business. Yeah. So, what sucks about it? What's your because I've got that list. We talked about it earlier, go ahead.
I'm a firm believer that to a degree, everything really sucks in the restaurant business. I think it just depends on where you are in the mix, whether you're working on the line, whether you're a bartender. There's going to be different levels of suck just based on what your role is. And it's for all the reasons that sucks is also probably all the reasons that I love about it. It's especially when it seems half the time it's just controlled chaos.
Mm-hmm.
It's a roller coaster
My goal is Groundhog Day. My goal is actually like boring restaurant business.
That's the funniest thing you've ever said, Chris.
In your role, I can understand. But the goal of when I was in operations and running it, it was let's try to, know what our budget is, know what our sales target is, right? Staff accordingly, have the product. It's people, product, marry those two. You have, and then you're able to sell it, right? Pretty simple process there. And then try to keep it consistent. And then the spice of it is just maybe you're a little busier than you expected, right? Or some fun things happen, whatever it is. But the chaos happens when that usually doesn't go as planned. And so that, let's figure out, everything sucks, then probably there's a lot of everything good. But what's kind of that thing that, when you think, what sucks for who, right? In your role maybe right now, so you were the general manager, AGM, then the GM, what kind of have you seen is just your the most frustrating thing over time and possibly why you've left places or why you think people leave?
I think for me,
what can we fix?
From the GM thing, I think the only part that really sucks, really totally sucks for me when it comes to the restaurant business is the when you're unexpectedly busy. You're not staffed, and then something happens, and then next thing you know, you're expecting a slow day. You have the staff for what you thought you were going to do, and then your patio gets right. completely full.
Right.
And at that point in time, it's just stress. It's just pushing. I love it because there's just something about when it's all done, just a sense of accomplishment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But like it's stressful because you're like, oh, ticket times. I hate that I'm probably letting my fans down.
Let's talk about that. So that's going to happen. There's no way, right? Because you have your projections and then the bus shows up.
Yep.
And you can't staff for the bus every day, right? You have to be ready, but you have a plan for when that happens. And so we have the shit yeah promise. And so there's really important when that happens, mm-hmm. right? Our team needs to say shit yeah for our fans to say it. And if we're not ready from a, hey, all of a sudden we're really busy, what do you do? Right, it can be mass chaos. And as the manager, it's your job to keep it level and say, here's our plan. But also, I say everybody has eyes and ears, right? So when they come in, they see yeah. that all of a sudden this isn't normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
They see everybody in survival mode all of a sudden.
And they see that. But also, too, if you know, we react and say, hey, we're way busier than normal for this time uh-huh. of day, right? We're going to do the absolute best we can. We want to make sure you leave saying shit yeah. Yep. Want to let you know, though, it may take a little bit longer than
it's normal. All about communication.
Mm-hmm. It's communication. It's people talking to people instead of just going into chaos mode and trying to do it and then get buried in the kitchen or yeah. behind the bar.
Yep.
You know, and so setting in the expectation, really it's saying, hey, we're known for the best experience and our food's normally quick, but today might not be that day. And just want to let you know, it may take three times as long. I'd rather put that out there.
And the right? guests appreciate that. The fans appreciate, like, they just want to be.
They do.
They just don't want to feel like they've been forgotten about.
Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing.
And I tell servers yeah. that all the time. Like, hey, just go talk to your tables. Get to know them. Have some genuine conversations. And they'll never, if you are talking to your tables, they will never know that it actually took 20
minutes.
The
other thing in this business.
That's true. They'll be like, oh.
Oh, really? Really?
The wow. other thing in this business that can be really tough is you get a table of 20 or 30, just this big group that comes in, and then you've got a bunch of people that are just the small, easy tables mm-hmm. and orders to execute, mm-hmm. and you let that one big group mess up the entire experience for all of them versus just going to that one group and saying, hey, want to let you guys know it's going to be a lot longer for you guys, right? And then make sure that you prioritize all the other tickets or all the other drinks, whatever it is, to make sure all, it's really what you want is one fire to put out. One of our things that we talk about, the way to execute 26X, which is how we can really grow our business, right?
Putting out 26X. Fires.
Setting fires and putting out fires, right?
Fires,
and so
yep.
when we know there's one about to start, let's go ahead and get proactive with that. And then just constantly focus on making sure everybody's saying shit, yeah.
You just got to get ahead of the situation.
Get ahead of it, be proactive.
Yep.
Slow down to speed up too. When that happens, let's get the game plan in place first. So that sucks about the restaurant business. Certainly have that. What do you love about it? Because you're in it.
I love the fans. I love the team. I'm really big on culture. Culture is huge for me. I think if you have a healthy culture at your restaurant, it just works better. And even in those high pressure moments, like people just pull together. But I love the fans. I love when people say shit. Yeah, I love when people come in and they have. That would just blow their mind unexpectedly. Like that's where my just seeing the joy and happiness that we of the service that we provide people. That's what I love each day.
And that's it. So shit yeah is just exceeding expectations.
Speaking of shit yeah, Sam, what award did you get?
I got. So of course we have Zinzi Fest. So this past Zinzi Fest, we recently rolled out superlatives for the Drayton location. And I was voted most likely to say shit yeah in my sleep.
there you go. That's really good. That's really good.
I say it literally all the time.
Right, like, wake up.
It's just one of those restaurant lingos now, like corner. Like anytime I walk in the grocery store,
yeah.
I'm like corner or behind you. Now, like if I'm somewhere, I'm like shit yeah. Like if they talk to me, I'm like shit yeah. And then I was somewhere the other day. I didn't even have my uniform on. And I was like shit yeah. And they're like, either you've been to Zinzi's or you work for Zinzi's.
Right.
I was like,
it is pretty
both.
Amazing how this, the strength of that motto works really well.
That's awesome.
Okay, so we got what sucks. We got what you love about it. It's very clear, you know, passionate about that. What do you think we're doing different? You know, what's something that you've done in your career that you've just kind of said, hey, this is how I'm different. One of the things that's fun, you know, you're a certified life coach.
Yes. Right?
So you've, you know, you're passionate about that. I think in this business, you know, we wear a lot of hats. We're a cheerleader. We're a coach. We're a mentor. We're a, you know, psychotherapist sometimes. You know, we wear all of these different hats. And I, you know, there's no doubt when kind of when we have problems like some stuff that's happened earlier this week.
Problems have happened this week?
Huh?
What problems are we talking about?
Yeah, right. The restaurant business this week. Kind of sucks this week sometimes. You know, let's pivot from that, but say this gift card rollout, this gift card rollout that we just did
was bonkers.
It was bonkers. We did bundles. We got our sauce going out. Right. First time we've ever really
said. And we figured that out in like 3 days and we're like, this is what we're doing. Like that was some of the highest pressure, but it's been so rewarding. Like we've really realized what we could actually do when we focus on something.
I think combined for the four locations, it was like 150,000 plus in gift cards total gross.
Yes.
Right. Wasn't it like that? You know,
just
total gross.
From the Tuesday of the week of Black Friday to
Cyber Monday, maybe?
Yeah, so it was 1,220 bundles.
Yeah, and so 1,220 bundles went out, right, in this, really leveraging the 26 Club. So all via text was the main, you know, we tested email marketing, we doing it, but it really showed the power of that relationship we have with our fans. And this was you in your new role. So you had been AGM and GM at the downtown location, had success there, but we saw the passion that you had and we wanted to put energy into catering and private events and the retail
business.
And so, you know, we really had this big opportunity with gift cards. Shout out to Kathy Wood.
She
had an amazing program that on basically a six-figure gift card program for the holidays that we put our spin on it, added a little
She really was. Like, it was such a very well put together 3-hour. When I saw it was 3 hours, I'm like, what is this? But I actually wanted more. I was just like, I kind of want.
She was really dropping some good stuff. And so we're going to keep, you know, working with her. I met her at a founders conference and she has a great book, Founderology. So
I have
so
it
you
at
can
my
understand
desk.
How, why I am the way I am, maybe.
I have that book at my desk.
There you go. And so, you know, with that gift card program, wildly successful, very stressful in regards to it. There were some tears in the office as that was getting executed, but
it was me.
We're ways.
Yeah, it was mostly dad.
Sorry.
Go. Right. But there's passion, right? There's passion. I was like, then what do? We huddled up. We got through it together.
We cried together.
We got it done. We got it done. We're still working on it, but it went.
Right. But we went from no gift card program to now like setting records, a new benchmark. Now we have a new tool in our tool belt. It's going to absolutely crush Q1 sales.
Well, that's what we do. We set records at Zenzies.
That's what we do because we're pushing the limits.
We've set a lot of records this year from a company's like St. Patty's Day. We set
we
records
haven't.
There.
So the score in 24 was our big thing. So, you know, we've got Arrive in 25, which is going to be awesome. That's where we really want to, you know, make a splash on the scene. But, you know, with what we're doing different, right? So we're obviously pushing limits, but, I think probably you're one of the most engaged in the 26X Club, which is our team's version of the text message program, very similar to the 26 Club. You're one of the most engaged on there.
Well,
and I think
it allows the 26X Club, even the community, I think what I love the most about it, I mean, we're doing a couple of things that are differently, like the podcast, for example. Like, we're bringing awareness to the realness of the restaurant business. And I love that. And what I love also the most is, especially when it comes to community, being a certified life coach, like, mental health is very, very important to me. And a lot of people don't know how to express how they're feeling.
Right.
And sometimes just the healthiest part of a feeling is just bringing it to life and putting it out there. So well, I think when you, with that club, it allows, and that's what I love because, I mean, it's stressful, and especially when you send out the text, like it allows me the opportunity to get something out of my body. Well, via text.
Like an outlet.
And it just
for
kind
anybody,
of just like,
yeah.
And because like, once you get that out, you're like,
so to talk about that,
it's not weighing me down anymore.
So that text that I send out almost every day, and I'm building a team to be able to help to execute that. But one of the questions I ask is, what's your number today? And it's 0 is I can't be doing worse, 10 I can't be doing any better, 5 is I'm lukewarm, just drifting through life. And 7 to 8 is I know where I am. I know where I'm going. I have a plan and I'm working towards it. Right. And that's really kind of where that sweet spot of life is. It means you have growth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's the quality of your life is the quality of the emotions that you associate to what's going on in life. And it's what you're focused on. And so I think what's happening, and I'm seeing as we've engaged in this, is people are engaging more. Mm-hmm. The numbers they're getting are going higher, right? We're seeing more engagement. This the whole thing, it's a really cool thing, is I don't think people really think all the time, how am I feeling today?
And right? you should constantly be self-analyzing your feelings.
Absolutely.
And I love that we did that. And we do that on the store level. We don't just do that here on the podcast. Like we
every
do
every team meeting, we do it.
And I love that because it allows us as a leader, or a fellow server, to know where to meet somebody. Because if I normally hover at a solid 8 to 9, 10 a lot. But I just believe that it's just all choices. Like every day we wake up with two choices. We can just let the nonsense of yesterday affect our today, or we can just learn from it and just get over it, build a bridge.
I think it's why God gives
it.
Us 24 hours, because I don't think I could handle 25.
Right.
Right. It's like I get a new day to start again.
But what about 26? Could we handle 26?
26. Yeah. Maybe I should operate. I think Dahlia operates on 26 hours. That's why it's all.
At least 27.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so to wrap this up, what's your number today?
I am a solid 9.
9.
I love it.
Dahlia?
8.
8.
Shit, yeah.
I'm a 9 today. It is really fun being here, being able to talk about this, being able to hear your passion at this stage of your career. I don't see you going anywhere anytime soon. I think the growth, I think the enhancement of the culture and what we're doing. People ask how you're going to scale this culture. Our culture is only getting better right now.
It really is.
It's only getting better. And it's because we're doing things different, right? We have systems in place that I believe will only get stronger. We're putting energy and resources into things like the 26 Club, the 26X Club. It's all about relationships, right? I think the most important thing that we all have in our life is our relationships. Honestly, I think what's wrong in the world right now is people think they have relationships and they don't.
They don't.
Right? They don't have face-to-face communication. It used to be face-to-face and calling. Now it's texting has replaced that. Then it's like following on social media.
I know. I even said that yesterday. I was just like, I'm just going to call them. I just hate texting people.
So we had that. And there's a time and place for everything. But the more we can get this, and I think to finish on that, that's what restaurants do, right? Mm-hmm. Restaurants bring people together. It's a gathering place. They throw around its third place. It's becoming very popular post-COVID. Starbucks built their whole business model of being third place from home, work, and then meet at Starbucks. Everybody kind of has that third place. I've got one. There's a Mate Factor locally.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we all get our mate and stay hopped up.
They want you to stay forever.
Forever.
They do. They do. You know, definitely.
But here comes Chris. We're making like 12 today.
But it's a gathering place. And so that's one of those things that when we're really focused on the relationships and what I believe are the two most important relationships that God gives you in this business, your team number one, and then your fans, this business provides more of those relationships than really any other business. I think when you focus on that, I think that's where your emotions rise and your number rises.
Yep.
And then you can transfer that energy, and it's just a great thing. So we're doing that today. Makes me really happy.
Shit, yeah.
Sam, shit, yeah. Keep doing amazing things with the company. So blessed to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Dahlia, thank you. And episode 9 coming up. Shit, yeah.
Shit, yeah. Oh, we didn't drink the sauce. Sorry.
Shake it up.
Uh-oh. Everyone.
All right.
Cypher.
There we do. There we do.
Oh, sorry, I don't have any nails.
All right. No fizz.
Please hold.
Oh, it didn't.
There we go. All right. Look at that. Such a gentleman opening day.
Oh, no,
God bless
that.
You.
There we go. All right.
Shit, yeah.
That's spot on.
Every time. Actually, that's... This one's really good.
This is really good. That one was good.
It's the last version we did.
This is the best one, yeah.
That's why we're doing small batches. So if we could copy that one, we're golden.
We got
and
it.
It was in my car being cold all night. Maybe it helped.
Maybe that's it.
That was really good.
All right.
Add that to your fridge.
All right. All right. Good deal.